Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Runcast. Really glad to have you here. Got a lot going on. Kickoff of the fall racing season, really. It starts with the Women's 4-Miler and with the Ragamountain Cup, two big events in our life last week. Of course, the Ragamountain Cup out at Panorama on Thursday is the first meet of the season for our area Harriers, high schoolers. Had a big meet, set our record. Most number of kids participate, and we had most number of teams. We had 62 relay teams, and then we had 252 kids in the JV race, the open 2-mile. Beautiful day, courtesy of Steve Murray out there, Panorama, beautiful course, and Dr. Wilder helping out, and really cool. We had Alan Webb start the race. Mm. Kids got a chuckle out of that. Fastest miler in U.S. history, 3:46. We were talking about how many of us it would take together to run a relay. Run that time, 3:46. We realized that maybe if we reach each, a bunch of us ran 200 meters, handed a baton to another friend, ran 200 meters, which is half a lap, that maybe, and then we said, no, we don't even know if we could do that. So pretty amazing time, 3:46. But good to have him out there. And a really great day. And it signifies, the start of the season. From this point forward, they're rolling. It's a short course, 2 miles for the kids, eases them into the season. From this point forward, they'll be doing 3 to 3.1 mile courses all the rest of the season. Halmar came out on top, kind of historic. Buzz Mayles boys and Kathy Kaufman's girls. It was a sweep for Halmar that has never happened before at the Cup. Kind of early season, and I say early season because take it with a bit of a grain of salt. Not all the teams are full steam at this point, but it's still kind of cool. Early season bragging rights, Halmar. It's a Western tradition to take the boys and girls, but Almont did it first time ever. And really a solid win. It was really decisive win for both teams. And two fastest kids of the day were both Almont kids. Adam Visake topped the boys' division, ran a tremendous sub-10 time. And then Allison Hushke, the junior from Almont, she was the top time of the day. So really a good day all the way around. And a lot of great performances, really fun to be out there and get things going. They'll be out at FUMA, a lot of the kids this week, the FUMA Invitational this Saturday. Many of our area kids will be participating in that. And again, the neat thing about the Cup is everyone was there. Covenant's there, Tandem's there, Miller's there, Madison is there, Fluvanna is there. Every single school in the listening, Central Virginia listening area, they come call them the Daily Progress schools in the coverage area. Nelson was there, Madison, like I said, Orange, FUMA, you just go on and on. It was really, really great. And even schools like FUMA and Woodbury haven't started school yet. They still managed to muster up 1 4-person team and come on out and participate because they know it's a big community event. So anyway, good day out there. And results, if you're looking for any cross-country results, the best results you're going to find are really well-done website. It's Milestat, Brandon Miles. Milestat is M-I-L-E-S. T-A-T, milestat.com, tremendous high school results if you're ever looking for that on anything that's high school-oriented track or cross-country. And they've got them up there. They've got the complete results. And then, of course, on Saturday, the biggie, our biggest event in town, the largest all-women's race in the state, the largest gathering of all-women, all-women event in our state, the Charlottesville Women's 4-Miler, Cynthia and Audrey, my wife and daughter, and the Charlottesville Track Club, and there's just a ton of good help. Heidi Johnson, Casey Hall, Kathy Thomas, Jim Bell, go on and on. Tom Hintz did a great job with the parking. In fact, Tom, I'm going to talk about him a little bit later, got a special award. But we 3,550, 3,550 women, and what a tremendous day. The cloud cover stayed in, even though it was humid, a little bit warm. Cloud cover saved us and had a lot of great performances. Rachel Rose, who's now Rachel Ward, former Almar great, two-time state champion. She picked up her second win there. She won it 2 years ago. She was a minute to the second fastest. She ran 22:49, fastest time since 1995.
Wow.
Tremendous victory. She took the lead at a mile quarter, never looked back, said she was really pumped to be running by the Almar kids who volunteer at the east end of the course. So they're in the first half of the course. It's a tradition. The Almar cross country team covers the driveways on the east end. The Western kids cover the driveways on the west end. They've been doing it for 29 years.
That's really cool.
So, in fact, the kids that started helping those driveways back in the early 80s when we started the race 29 years ago, they now have daughters running in the race.
That's great.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, and then, so she said she was pumped by that, and she outlegged Sally Ford and Vicky Chandeville, two RMR girls. And then, of course, squeezing in between there was Jennifer Owens, also a former Almar great, one of Lance Wisen's great, great runners. She finished third overall, so it was Rachel, Sally, Jennifer, and Vicky. And Liz Welsh round out the top five. But Jennifer's race was significant in that she won it in 1999. It's 12 years ago. She wasn't married. She's not married. She has two kids. She's older than she obviously was, 12 years older. I mean, do the math. She's in her early 30s, mid-30s at this point. And she ran only 4 seconds slower than she did then. She thought that was pretty cool.
That's great.
Something she was kind of telling me on the side when I was interviewing her for the paper. Complete results for that are on the Charlottesville Track Club website. They're on the Women's 4-Miler website. You can find them at the Daily Progress. Daily Progress did another great job. They did a whole complete fold-out from the event. I mean, great, great races all over. The cool thing about the Women's 4-Miler, touches every talent level. Every single woman out there has a story to tell. You know, Rachel had a story to tell. Your last place woman had a story to tell.
Mm.
Some of them are breast cancer survivors. Some are running with their family. Some are running in memory of someone, in honor of someone. Some are trying to win their age group. Some are trying to run a PR. I mean, some are trying to break 10-minute miles. Some are trying to break 12-minute miles. It's just, we love it. Had Teresa Sullivan come out and start the race. I think she was in awe of the president of UVA. There were over 60 teams. Team Pick You. I got to chat with them. They had some breast cancer survivors on their team and a bunch of UVA hospital teams. Raising Cane, run in memory of the late Susan Cain. They did really good. I mean, you go on and on. The mother-daughter teams, Holly and Karen Rich won that. Jill and Emily Bascom were second. And then Julia, Nancy, and Jordan Hawes were the third. I mean, a ton of mother-daughter teams. And kind of two significant races I wanted to talk about. Linda Skandor won. She was the top person in the 60 and over.
Hmm.
And her time is good enough that she would have placed in every single age group. I mean, look here. She ran 30-45. Okay, 30-45. Her time was fast enough that she would have gotten on the award stand for every single age group.
That's
all the way down to 25 to 29. Then Peggy Mowbray, who's 55, 56, she won the 55 to 59. She ran 28-47. Checked it. She would have won, she would have placed in every single age group.
It's unbelievable.
All the way down to the kids. And all the way, you know, the really competitive age groups, 30, 34, 35, 39, 40 to 44, that's where you really start. 45 to 49, oh my gosh, it's competitive in there.
Hmm.
So anyway, too many stories to talk about here, short period of time. But you see a woman, you know a woman that ran in this race, you know a kid that ran this race, congratulate them, and then hand them $10 or $15 or $20 because we're still fundraising for that breast care center over at UVA. We can track now. We saved about a half a dozen lives last year. The money, meaning the money that came out of the Women's 4-Miler training race, saved lives, six lives. That we can track, pretty cool. And I just said Women's 4-Mile Training Program, there to be congratulated to Joan Esposito and company. Had about 800 women from that training program, many of them first-timers, couch potato, former couch potato grads. They're now, you know, out there running, getting off their backsides and doing some exercise. Fantastic. Sarah Bravor, Anne Mazur, Thomas Adam, RMR athletes had good races up at the New Haven 20K. It's a national 20K road championships. Had good event there. A little humid, a little windy, but did quite well. Top 25. And then Amy Martin, one of my athletes I get to coach, she also ran. She did tremendous. Did quite well in her age group up at New Haven. The Glenn Anderson, we've talked about him many times, Mike.
Yes.
Ticked off number 42. So he's got Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
He ran a 3:52. So that counts in his second quest because he's going to go, you know, he's trying to do 50 states, should complete it by May of 2012. And he's got 42 down. So he's going to finish out with Delaware next year, May of 2012, like I said. So he's going to go back and redo the states that he didn't break 4 hours in. So thank goodness he broke four at Wisconsin because this, you know, this is madness. I'm like, Glenn, you got to be kidding. Now you've taken a step further. Not only are you going to run 50 states, we got to run them under 4 hours.
Do you know how many he has completed?
I think it's
under
seven.
Four?
Seven that he hasn't.
Seven that he has not. Okay.
Six or seven, he was telling me. Mike Staniski, guy I had the pleasure of coaching for several years on the track. He's now running in the woods. He's doing these ultra trail runs. He's really quickly climbing his way to the top of the rankings in Virginia. He's one of the top trail guys in the state. He set a course record at the Xterra Snow Mountain, 20K. Tremendous effort there on his part. He ran an hour and 33 minutes. And like I said, he won the event and set the course record. Pretty cool stuff. Live and learn. Oh, my gosh, there's so many things I'm seeing. We're seeing a lot of injuries. It's been a long summer. I cannot wait for the heat and humidity to disappear. I feel like it's had a lot to do with why we're seeing some injuries. People aren't recovering from their runs. They're pushing through runs, and, of course, it's affecting their mechanics. We've had a washboard road issue this summer. A lot of the gravel roads that we highly recommend people training on because of their soft surface, we now can track, really can find them as ground zero for many of the injuries I've been seeing, ankle and knee injuries. Why? Because of the washboard. You ask someone to run on ripples for 6 miles or 7 miles or 5 miles, and you know it's just not conducive to keeping you safe. So, you know, it's actually a summer that'd be better actually to be out on the pavement, which we don't recommend pavement for marathon training on a you know, full-time basis, but I'm pushing people out onto the pavement now more than I would normally. I live and learn department saw a couple of folks recently that are struggling with their training for their fall event, their fall marathon, and it's because they didn't fully recover from their spring event. It takes about 9 to 11 weeks to fully recover from a marathon. It does not mean, you know, climb into bed, get on the couch for 9 to 11 weeks, but you keep your run short, you keep them slow, and you don't add any racing, you don't add any significant long bicycle rides, you don't do anything, you don't go hiking the Grand Canyon 2 weeks after running the Boston Marathon. If you do that, you can get away with it at that moment. The next week, you can still be laughing at the gods. But when you go to fire your marathon training up in August or September, and we're talking a race back in March or April, you don't recover from it properly. We're seeing a lot of this lately. People very tired, getting injured, and we're thinking, I'm looking, again, tracking it back to saying, gee, you know, you probably didn't get the full recovery. Kenny Ball, one of my favorites, because he listens so well, and he's such a really respectful of his coach trying to help him out. He really is one of the best at recovering after an event. I've talked about him before. Really, really good about it. And then another live and learn, I've been seeing people trying to push through their long runs. They're doing an 18-mile training run for a marathon. It's a hot day. They're laboring. They're way off their normal conversational pace time. Pull a plug. Just get out. Stop and walk, because that's when you end up getting hurt if you push through. You're getting depleted more than normal. You're drinking more than normal. I had a runner recently said he drank 126 ounces during his 20-mile run. That told me, tell me something was really wrong that day. Not necessarily with him, but with the weather and the conditions. So anyway, I've been coaching for 30 years. I feel like I'm still learning, constantly learning about the sport. Training tip, let's get out our lights or reflective vests. It's get dark in the morning now. Almost my entire run is in the dark. This morning I was at the track coaching my Wednesday group, and it was, you know, we get there 5:30. It was about quarter after 6:30 before it was really starting to feel like I could see my watch and could see things. And remember, if you have a headlamp, it's what Cynthia and a lot of her friends wear, these little lightweight Pixel headlamp. They're fantastic. They're bright. You're lighting your path, but you're also warning motorists, alerting motorists, and it makes such a difference. I used to wear a reflective vest. I don't wear the reflective vest as much as I used to because I now use a flashlight. It's one of these little runner's flashlights. And I find that I'm waving that thing up and down at a car as it's coming towards me. They move over so much better than they did when I had the reflective vest. And they don't see the reflective vest almost the last second. The flashlight they see way ahead of time.
So. I know. I agree with you 100%. I know from a driver's perspective, because I come into work at 5-ish in the morning on the weekdays. And I've had many moments where it was like a panic attack. I'm like,
hit someone.
There's a person. I'm not. Yeah. And you just, so when you see a light, it is like, oh, a huge, huge bonus. And
some of the anti-government folks are going nuts with this, but I almost feel like there ought to be a law about it. I see now they're really going to start cracking down on people, cyclists wearing helmets. It's about time, you know, dealing with head injuries in the hospital because somebody's tooling around on a bicycle on a street. Yeah. It's one thing if you're up and down your driveway, but God, you're out in a street, you get hit by a car and you hit your head, it's lights out. So it's the same thing with people. This, I just find it to be really frustrating that my fellow runners, a lot of them run out there and you can't see them. And I always say to them, you're a motorist yourself. Most people that run drive a car.
Sure, they know.
And so they get frustrated. They say, gee, somebody walked down. Or, gee, a deer, I almost hit a deer. I didn't see it till the last second. Or, gee, those doggone bicyclists are always in the way. I'm thinking, you're the same person that doesn't wear a light. Right. Doesn't use a flashlight. So anyway, a little preachy. Maybe that's my rant for the day. But giving back dollar-wise, oh, my gosh, the 4-miler. We cracked the 300,000 mark, I think, at this point. We're still bringing dollars in. I really strongly encourage you, if you haven't given anything to this race financially, to just cut a check for whatever you can afford. You have to know someone in this community that has been touched by cancer, that's been treated at this hospital. And you're giving back in such a special way. Tom Hintz, one of our volunteers, doing the Volunteer of the Week, had so much great help this year at both the Cup and the 4-miler. Cynthia and I both were so I'm in awe of many of our friends, the Jim Bells, the Tom Scalas, the Dave Murphys, Scott Smith, and Mary Claire Smith. It could go on and on. Lisa Drakes, the people at Heidi Johnson's that help out so much. But Tom Hintz is our head parker, and we do an amazing job of parking cars, if I don't mind saying so. Cars start coming out. They're about 6:30. By 7:15, by this year, 7:29, we had every car parked. 4,000 cars. Amazing. And nobody had to wait. I mean, they had to slow down. But there was no stop traffic. We make sure that Tom Hintz is ahead of this. He's done it for years. They used to call him the parking czar, the parking Nazi. That's now cool. He's like the parking hero because he's such a sweet guy and does such a great job. So they gave him the Bev McCoy Award. Bev McCoy, a longtime Charleston Track Club member, wonderful person, very giving person. She donates a certain amount of dollars to the event every year, and she wants an award each year, somebody to be noticed, to be recognized for their contribution to the race, somebody that is really into helping kind of behind the scenes or in front of the scenes. So this year they give it to Tom Hintz.
You guys need to help out with football after. Just move on over and
the
take
police,
care of football at
the county
the
police
games.
Say we're second to none of anyone in this community when it comes to parking.
That's awesome.
Anywhere. JPJ, Scott Stadium, downtown, pavilion, doesn't matter. Right. Now, the luxury we do have is that road, once you pull off a guard onto Foxfield, into the property, there's a road there.
Yeah, that's true.
You go 35 miles an hour, then you hit the field, and you can cowboy it through the field. Like we were yelling at all these SUV folks, test that SUV. Come on, go, girl. Hit that grass now. Go. This is what you bought the thing for. And, right. A lot of fun with it. So they really can go really fast until they hit their parking spot. You cannot. Scott Stadium and
right.
JPJ. I mean, it's really hard to do it. But
no, I know.
We still enjoy the appreciation and the compliments. And it's a challenge for us. And we treat it like our race that morning each year. Coach of the Week, all the high school coaches that kick the season off, hats off to you for all the work you do. It's practically volunteer, the amount of hours you put in and the significant impact you have on young people's lives. But, a particular hats off to Buzz Mail and Kathy Kaufman for their Ragamountain Cup championships. Let's see. UVA track update. It's looking good. There have been a few weather situations that have gotten them behind a little bit, but they're anxious to get the surface on there before the cold weather because it has to adhere properly. So they're coming along quite nicely with phase one. Jason Vigilante's dream over there, having this beautiful track facility. Should be finished by January because they got to compete. They got to have the thing all ready to go for ACCs, which we're hosting this year. And then there's a new track over at Burley.
Yeah, I was going to say.
School, very neat. I got to go over there and wheel it today to see how many laps you have to do it for a mile. But the little urban track, neighborhood track, fantastic. Just add to the cachet of tracks we have all over the place. Walton, Henley, Meriwether, Lewis. I could go on and on. All the schools now that have tracks for locals to enjoy. There's even one over at Alec and Lauren. My son and daughter-in-law just bought a house over in Greenbrier in the neighborhood there. And the Greenbrier School, I had helped them advise them on their track there. They've got a little neighborhood track at Greenbrier School.
Yeah, I've been seeing it as I drive into work, them building it. I'm like, all we need now is a shower here at the radio station.
Yeah.
I can get my workout and come back.
Get the Schultzer Radio Group, get everybody out there.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of fun. Do some workouts together. In the starting blocks, a near and dear event to me, Steven Siller, Tunnel to Towers, 5K is this Saturday, the 10th. That's a firefighter event to raise awareness and dollars for our local firefighters, excuse me, on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. Stephen Siller was his firefighter in New York City Fire Department. Was in the tunnel, one of the tunnels leading to the city, traffic jam as the Twin Towers were burning. He's in this tunnel. He gets out of his car, runs 3.2 miles to the towers, rushes into the building to help his fellow firefighters, and he was killed. We got a UVA Home Cross Country meet this Friday out at Panorama. It's 5 or 5:30. Come on out and cheer on the Cavs, men and women, Jason Vigilante's crew. And then FUMA Invitation. I talked about Winston Brown always puts on a great event. He's such a passionate guy for the sport. That's this Saturday out at FUMA. Next Saturday, Pepsi 10K. We've got a half marathon, not in town this weekend. I've got a bunch of women going up a trail half marathon. Boy, that would be soggy after all this rain.
Yeah.
That's up in Fairfax this Saturday. Good luck to them. And then runners of the week, I don't even know where to begin. You know, just every woman that ran the four-miler that feels like they accomplished something. You deserve a runner of the week, Pat. But obviously, Rachel, significant win for her. Adam and Allison winning the cup. All the women's 4 miles training program folks, graduates that ran the first race. Call out to my good buddy Scott and Mary Claire Smith, good buddies, their daughter Emily. I've watched her grow up. She won a shirt at the Ragga Mountain Cup. Why is that significant? You have to be in the top 25, which is so hard to do when you have 17 schools with all these talented kids, hundreds of kids. For you to be in the top 25, it's a big deal. Emily gets her Ragga Mountain Cup top 25 shirt, a little badge of honor. And then maybe I'll end with this thought. Stephanie Basson, she's from Fluvanna. She was nominated by Rose Brogan, her coach, for the Kelly Watt Cup, the Kelly Watt Memorial Award. It's every year. Each of the coaches at the Ragga Mountain Cup, all the cross-country coaches, get to nominate one kid who they think best exemplifies Kelly's attitude, work ethic, leadership. I mean, one coach said, they didn't know Kelly very well. Of course, Kelly's the fellow who died out on Ridge, or didn't die there, but had the accident out at Ridge and died a few days later, top runner in the area, Ragga Mountain Cup champ, off to William Mary. Super-duper great kid all the way around. Almaral, one of Almaral's finest. One of Lance's all-time favorites. And anyway, coach said, I didn't know Kelly very well. What's the criteria? I said, think of your favorite kid on the team. Who's the kid that you'd say, boy, I'd like to clone this kid and have, you know, they don't need to be the best runner, but someone who works hard, you know, leadership, great kid, joker, but also good at the same attitude. Time serious, great attitude. So congratulations to Stephanie, Paige, and Paul Watt. Pulled their name out of the hat. We had all these names in it from all these coaches, and it's a really poignant moment and a significant way to really memorialize this wonderful kid and his legacy. All right, everyone. I need to remind you, too, if you ever need any advice on training, you got questions about stretching, you got questions about injury, you got questions about, you know, how to taper for a race, how to peak for a race, I'm always I'm happy to help you with that. You can call the shop or stop by. But until next week, again, thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.